What's up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of Balls, Sticks, and Fists. I'm your host, Keaton, joined by my co-host, Sam. It's your favorite show without an intro, and we are live. We got a little appetizer last week in week zero, but now I'm ready to eat the main entree. The appetizer helped me off for a little bit, but now it's main entree time, so we're going to get that.
Just like one game, so if you even consider that an appetizer.
I watched every single game on Saturday, even the FCS kickoff. And yeah, it was great. 12 hours of football. I couldn't find the Hawaii game though, so unfortunately I couldn't watch that at midnight, but I watched.
Wasn't that on CBS Sports?
No, it didn't have a network attached to it. It was on, locally in Hawaii, it was on Spectrum Sports, but,
yeah, we don't get that.
Yeah, but yeah, it was good. Hey, I told you last episode what I say I wouldn't be surprised if some weird shit happens. They're going over in Dublin. Some weird shit may occur.
Yeah,
it's week one.
Georgia Tech, and who bet on Florida State?
I didn't bet on it. I had no action last weekend.
Really? I thought you told me you bet on Florida State.
No. I said after Florida State's drive, I said I'm all in on Florida State. After their first drive, because they did, I'll admit, after that first drive, I was like, Mike Norvell might hang 100 points on Georgia Tech. But then, Georgia Tech came down, great drive, smacked it in the end zone, responded. And a little interesting tidbit from that game. You know how many total drives there were?
I think Florida State only had seven, right? Or seven or eight.
Seven. Each team had seven possessions.
Yeah.
There's only 14 total possessions. So,
because some of those drives were long as shit.
Yeah, it was. Georgia Tech really out-physical Florida State, and a game like that is one in the trenches. Like, Florida State wasn't pushing the ball downfield at all, and when they were, DJ's passes were about 20 yards out of bounds.
It was just the DJ we were used to.
Like I said, great kid. Love the kid. But as a football player, I knew that they really didn't take a step up. If anything, they took a step. Like, just off, Jordan Travis isn't
Jordan
like
Travis
a...
Travis was, he was a good quarterback.
A great college quarterback, you know?
Yeah.
And there's a tidbit out there also. Mike Norvell... record without Jordan Travis at quarterback is quite atrocious. I don't have that off the top of my head. I wish I took a note of it, but...
Yeah, I mean, last year, were they good? I can't remember their record the year before, but they weren't anything, like, great.
Yeah, I think it might have been seven wins.
It was kind of like a... just a good team, like, put together for that year.
Yeah. And then, you know, last year, solid squad. This year, lost a lot. Added a lot of transfers, and that was that.
If you're 4-8, like, you can still win out and get in the playoff.
Yeah, like, you don't have to. Your season's not... Your season's not over by any aspect of it. The only thing that I'm worried about Florida State is the offense. Well, hold on. Let me take that back. There's actually a lot of things I'm worried. Their defensive line is not the best defensive line in the country. It's probably not the best defensive line in the ACC, like it was promoted to be.
Definitely not.
And, it's just... They have some problems that need solved. And I'm just saying, they got Boston College coming into town on Monday night. Bill O'Brien. I know he took the job late. You know, he took the job late, but they have a dual-threat quarterback, which is a better better runner than Haynes King, probably not a better passer than Haynes King, but...
No, Haynes King's a good college quarterback.
Yeah, so if things get tight against Boston College at home on Monday night, then I'd be a little worried.
Well, Bill O'Brien, you know, have a, you know, good offense. He put some pressure on Florida State, you know, late in the game.
Yeah, all right, we're not talking about that game, though. We're talking about Georgia Tech at Florida State in Dublin. Florida State Twitter, Florida State Reddit, Florida State blogs. They're all in shambles right now. And it's funny.
Well, they got duped.
Well, yeah, they got duped, supposedly, according to my sources. Supposedly, all the noise was coming from the coaching staff that was leaking stuff to the blog writers. So yeah, they feel lied. The fan base feels lied to about this defense line that got pushed. Like, dude, honestly, on some of those runs that Georgia Tech had, I probably could have got a good 7.
I know that.
Well, because there was no one within 7 yards of me, yeah. So I'm saying I could probably get 7. Wide open hole. There's no one hash to hash. There's fucking no, you know, they moved them boys up front, and that was, you know,
and that was supposed to be like Georgia Tech's weakness was their, well, like opposite was their defensive line. Florida State was supposed to run the ball with the ease on them.
Yeah, I was really.
They did the first drive. The first drive, you were probably like, oh yeah, that's why you were all in on them.
Yeah, and then
they didn't do anything after that.
Well, you forgot the text. You forgot the text I sent after Georgia Tech's first drive also. I said, I'm all in on Georgia Tech now. So, like, after I watched the first two drives, I was like, oh, all right. Yeah, it was a good game to watch, you know. Not a lot of possessions at all. 14 total possessions.
It's a great game for the Dublin game, you know what I mean?
My question is, how long is your leash on DJ? Because I don't think DJ did not play bad, but, like, you know what you get from him. Like, I've seen DJ, that type of performance from DJ, and his previous 24 starts. You know?
Yeah, I know.
Like, that.
He's not going to win you a game, but he's really not going to lose you a game either.
Yeah, that's, but like when they ran on that, I want to say it, like when they ran their 4-minute offense or whatever, because they knew they weren't going to get the ball back if they punted, so they went for like 2 fourth downs on their last offensive possession. DJ made some nice clutch throws, but it was at a point where it would be 3rd and 6, 3rd and 8. They're running the ball.
Yeah.
I don't know if that, obviously there's, you know, they know that it's 4-down territory, so all right, maybe we catch them off guard, run it, you know, boom.
Yeah.
But you can also look at it as, do they, you know, DJ pushing the ball downfield?
They don't trust them on, like, pushing the ball down the field. That's why they were running it. They knew it was 4, like, if it's 2nd and 8, they're going to run it. They're not going
to. Yeah. I mean, he made some nice throws across the middle on that game tying possession. So it's not like he's a. You just know what you get. Like I don't want to call him a check down merchant, but he's really on the borderline of a check down. Like, I just think he's so much better than that. I don't know if it's the mental. I don't know what it is.
I don't know either, because when that COVID year, when he came in, because
Trevor Lawrence had COVID. Hurt. No, he had COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had COVID.
He
so
looked like the real deal. He was
look at,
all over the place.
Look at that stat line. He threw for 400 of that game. It was either 350 or 400.
Yeah, I mean, it was like a shootout with him and wasn't Ian Book, right?
Yeah, they lost that game, though.
They did, but it was like 40 to like 38 or something like that.
Part of me wants to say that game went to OT, but I'm probably way off on that. But
no, it was, if it didn't, it was close to it.
I'm searching up his stat line from that game. Yeah. I was just selling him. He started 439 yards and 2 TDs in a double overtime thriller against Notre Dame.
Yeah.
29 of 44.
That was his freshman year, right?
Yeah. And then, dude, people saw that. They were like, all right, Trevor.
I thought he was the next real deal, man.
But the thing is, like, it's not a Dabo issue. Because when you look at.
It's just quarterbacks, man. Like, look what happened to Phil.
Yeah, well, since you brought up Phil. I'll say this. At Boston College, the year before he transferred to Pitt, he had that wrist hand injury.
Yeah.
And I think
he was good at Boston College the year before.
Yeah, I know. Bro, he's getting and like people were like he's probably gonna be like a third round draft pick. Like,
yeah.
And then he had that hand injury, and then I don't know if it was how he was like gripping the football or like if it like fucked up something with that. He just couldn't throw the football the same.
Yeah, or was you know when you get injured like that, you're thinking about your wrist like
yeah.
instead of just throwing the ball.
Yeah, but. You also look at, like, has K Klubnik been that much better than DJ? And all,
no.
Yeah, like, and he was but highly
talented. I also blame that on Clemson just not having the receivers they usually do.
And we'll get into Clemson versus Georgia in the neutral site game here in a little bit. But, yeah, Florida State, like I said, I'm worried about DJ because – you'll be able to win games like that, but, like, you need some explosives. You just can't do that. Yeah, I'm worried about the defensive line. Defensive line got pushed around.
By Georgia Tech, too.
By Georgia Tech. You know, like, Georgia Tech's no, like...
Yeah.
They're a mid-tier... Yeah. They're a mid-tier ACC. No one's picking Georgia Tech to be there in fucking December. You know,
if you're getting pushed around against Georgia Tech, what is Miami going to do to you?
Well, I think we might see a little of the same stuff cooking this weekend. I think them Miami coaches been leaking the information to the beat writers saying, oh, this is the best secondary, the best D-line we've ever seen. Cam Ward's looking like...
But who do you trust more, Cam Ward or DJ?
To make a mistake, I trust Cam Ward more than...
To win a game.
To go out there... Well, Cam Ward can either break the game or he can game break the game.
Yeah, but they're going to be running with Martinez, so...
Well, they're going to have to because
They're not going
to
just air it out, but...
Yeah,
he's
I know.
Make plays. He's going to make plays in the run game, too.
I saw Miami fans on Twitter going all crazy because Miami was running a two running back system with Cam Ward. Like, they were in a pistol with an offset running back also. And I was like, yeah, they should use their weapons. They're acting like Miami just, like, recreated the wheel because they have two running backs in the backfield. But... Yeah, we'll get into that game, too. Anything else? So, yeah, I already said what I'm worried about Florida State. It's not the end of the world for Florida State, but there's definitely some glaring red flags.
Yeah. I had Tech points and my arm.
Yeah.
We won't count it towards the record because I didn't.
Yeah. And then Georgia Tech, man, they had a tough schedule ahead, but... Sorry, it's the train.
Is that your train?
Yeah, it's the train coming through.
I really heard it that time. I didn't hear it the last time.
Yeah. But, yeah, we'll see what Georgia Tech shakes out to be in the ACC. Hopefully they don't get ahead of themselves after this victory.
I still put them at, like, 7-8 wins.
Yeah. SMU at Nevada. SMU, another ACC team. SMU, a team last week that I said I was really high on. And after watching, like, after watching about 50 minutes of that game, I was all out on SMU. Then I met someone. And that someone's name is, one sec, let me go to my notes and I'll tell you. That someone's name, RJ Maryland. 6'4", 240, listed as a tight end, moves as a receiver. 8 catches, 162 yards, and 1 touchdown. He single-handedly won them the game. Well, Preston Stone obviously threw him the ball, but none of the other receivers for SMU were doing anything.
I was kind of like half-assed watching it. Every time I looked up the fourth quarter that the tight end was catching a ball.
Yeah, he single-handedly won them the game. I was like, it was one of those games to watch, and you were nervous for every single special teams play because you knew a 15-yard flag was going to get thrown on SMU.
Yeah.
Like, it was just like, it was just some undisciplined football being played by SMU. And, like, I totally take back what I said last week about SMU making noise in the ACC. I don't think they're going to be making any noise this year. That's
6-1 team now, dude.
That's an overreaction. It's week 1. They traveled to Nevada. It's it's tough not to overreact because, you know, like, they're just out of camp. Like, there's, it takes some time to get things rolling. And that's why, like, when I'm analyzing some of these games, I'm like, it's week, like, I'm, like, taking account. It's week one. It's going to take some time. Like, I'm not going to get the best fucking Georgia against Clemson.
That was a bad example.
All right, maybe I won't get the, like, Minnesota's offense is supposed to be revamped this year, you know?
Yeah.
But will we see that week one? Or are we going to see a fucking rock fight with two running backs just running three straight times up the middle for 60 minutes?
Yeah, but I mean,
yeah, I saw that. I saw you on those.
Yeah, Minnesota's going to try and air it out. Whether that's going to help them or hurt them, they're going to try and air it out.
Yeah, so SMU came out with the victory.
SMU, like, looking at their schedule, they have, like, it's a very favorable schedule.
It wouldn't surprise me if Pitt loses at SMU in October, November, whenever that is.
Well, yeah, 3-1 team losing to SMU on the road.
We'll talk about Pitt in a little bit. But, yeah, that's – oh, the turning point in the game, Nevada's guy calls for a fair catch in the end zone, hits off his shoulder pad, picks it up at the one-yard line, and then, you know, you got a place where you – you know, and then they got – yeah, they got a safety after – yeah, they got a safety after that.
They outscored them 16-0 in the fourth quarter, I think.
Yeah, that was a tough loss for Nevada. You literally had the game.
Yeah, I know.
But good for SMU. I'm gonna back off the SMU.
I think this is when you keep riding them even more because you're gonna get some favorable. You might get some very favorable lines.
I don't know if I ever want to put money on SMU after watching that game. if that's anywhere to what I'm going to get, like, I reading up on them, just watching, like, you know, SMU's this high fire, powering offense. And I'm like, all right. And then second play of the game, I'm like, oh, they're airing it out, interception. And then no separation. Their running back is a former fucking return specialist, wide receiver that they like at running back, so they turn him into a running back. They're running a two quarterback. Yeah, they're running like a two quarterback system in the first half. And I'm like, how do you expect a quarterback to get in any kind of rhythm when you're rotating? Like, I will forever be against the two quarterbacks, like, rotation.
And yeah, it doesn't make sense.
And we'll get in that because Pitt's running that this Saturday against Kent State.
Yeah, but I feel like that's a little different.
Yeah, we're getting that. But you want to get into week one?
Yeah, let's do it.
Hit the music. Bum, bum, bum. All right, we got North Carolina -1.5 at Minnesota. I don't know if it moved back to 2.5, but when this line opened up, it was Minnesota -2.5. And ever since then, it's kind of flipped. It flipped completely to North Carolina's side. And supposedly that has to do with a little injury bug at Minnesota. I don't want to misspeak, but I believe it was their running back. They were having open practice with the media, and he got injured, something like that. So he's kind of been out. So I don't know if that has to do with the line movement or what.
I don't know. I don't know why Minnesota would be favored in the first
place. That's why I love North Carolina. Getting North Carolina as a dog, and then it flipped on me, but I'm still...
It's still 1.5.
I still like North Carolina, though, on the road. Little tidbit for you. I think that's the fourth time I've said that word this episode. PJ Flex 5-2 in his openers at Minnesota.
I like the over just because Minnesota's rush defense was awful last year.
What was the score?
That's all UNC is going to try and do is run with Hampton.
Yes, that is what they're going to try and do. But I had some analysis on this game on my TV the other day, and this is very in-house. There's no North Carolina didn't have a spring game. Minnesota didn't have a spring game. Like, they do, like, both teams are keeping things really close to their vest on certain stuff. So I don't know what to expect, to be honest, because Minnesota's rocking. I think it's their second year with their new OC, new
quarterback. With the new quarterback, they're gonna just try and let it rip.
Yeah, new quarterback, but can Minnesota truly let it rip?
Well, if not, they're gonna turn the ball over, and that's gonna be good for my other team. So,
but the thing is, like, North Carolina is not known as like a stout ACC D. Like they let up points. So I could see that, but. What was it? Was it Nebraska at Minnesota last year?
50, yeah.
To start?
Yeah, that was.
Yeah, what was the score like of that? 13-10. That's what I could very easily see this being a rock fight. There's no in between. If it's in the, it's not going to be in the 20s. It's going to be in the 30s. And so, if it's not in the 30s, it's going to be in the 10s and the teens.
Well, yeah, that's just how it works.
Well, I'm just saying, like, there's no in between. Like, it's not going to be 28-21. It's going to be 38.
I don't think it's going to be like a blowout. Are you saying?
I'm saying it's either going to be a rock fight or it's going to be back and forth.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be back and forth, but like 50 points.
Yeah, 50 points is low. I think 50 points is low.
UNC can get to like 30 themselves.
I'm just not too familiar with North Carolina's weapons on the outside. I know they got they got a great running back. I'm not sold on Max Johnson as a quarterback.
But he's service. Like, he's been there before.
Yeah, I know. He's been there, done that. Supposedly, he really, like, turned up the consistency towards, like, the end of camp, and that's when he, like, truly, like, separated himself. Never did I think there was a true quarterback battle, but...
Correct me if I'm wrong. Minnesota got a lot of transfers at wide receiver too.
Yeah, but I'm just not familiar.
I'm pretty sure they're. I know one's from Penn State. What's his name? I forget.
I feel like that's. I don't know. It's just a timing thing, like a transfer quarterback and a transfer receiver.
Yeah.
Timing.
I mean, it could. You're really making me love UNC here, but like.
No, I love like I.
don't it, trust them.
See, look, I love so many games on this board this week that I know it's gonna go terribly wrong. That's why I was gonna call a game of the year. I was gonna call a lock of the year, but then I remember it's week one and I don't really know anything about these teams. So.
Nobody does.
Yeah, so like this is what I always come back to. We can read all the blogs from the beat writers. We can turn on the tape from last year, watch the teams. But, like, we truly don't know till we see the current team in week one. So, like,
week four is where you...
Yeah, week four is whenever they're, like, but you can see where they're going, like, week one.
Yeah.
Like, what it's going to look like, with all the new coordinators around. How are they going to be calling plays? Is it actually going to look any different? Like Cade Bell, the new Pitt OC, literally he had a presser today. He said, "Yeah, when we're going our fastest, we want to get the ball off within 7 seconds. That's fast. That's the type of tempo he was bringing to Pitt."
Yeah, that's not going to happen in year one, dude.
Yeah, especially with like. The recruit, like, it's just...
It's not his system, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he brought over three guys on the offense from Western Carolina that probably know the offense better than anyone else on...
Yeah.
So, yeah, but we're not talking about them yet. Row the boat...
I don't want to talk about them at all.
Oh, but somehow they ended up on our sheet, so I guess we got to follow a script. You know, got to stay on script. We're a good offense on script. I'm leaning North Carolina here all the way.
If I had to pick a side, I would take North Carolina. But
the thing, you know this. You know this better than anyone. That there is a home field advantage there in at Minnesota.
Yeah, I know. They'll come out. It'll be a good atmosphere.
They're gonna be rowing the boat. They're gonna have those paddles. They're gonna be rowing as fast, and they might be rowing upstream at times. But the thing about them is they never stop rowing. They never stop rowing. So we'll see. I'm still all over North Carolina. and yeah.
I'll stick to the over. Yeah. I don't trust either.
Oh, by the way, guys, these aren't our gambling picks. These are just who we're picking in the game. We give out our gambling picks at the end of the episode.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's go into another Thursday night game. North Dakota State at Colorado. Colorado is -9.5. This is what we're talking about. The trenches are reloaded for Colorado. Supposedly they look a little more beefier up in the trenches. And I feel, if it was a 7-on-7 game, I'd choose Colorado all day long. 7-on-7, but this is 11-on-11. There's pads, it's physical, stuff like that. I feel like, so what, Shador was sacked 51 times last year or something like that?
Yeah.
That's a lot. If you guys don't.
The offensive line was awful.
Yeah. That's a lot of sacks. For reference, Bo Nix got sacked about 6 times last year, I think. Yes. So, obviously, 2 different offenses, but one gets the ball out a lot faster than the other. But that's just a comparison. If they get Shador to not get sacked as much, I think they win a lot more games this year. Obviously, I don't have Colorado winning the Big 12. I don't have Colorado making a run in the playoff, but I feel like they could win a lot more games this year. This is going to be interesting. North Dakota State, disciplined team, beefy, physical, 8-3 last year. They brought back, so their head coach was the offensive coordinator for them whenever they won back-to-back in 15 and 16, I think. He went on to a different coordinating job back then, but then they just brought him in. Not just brought him in, but he's now back as the head coach. And, yeah, they got a returning quarterback, Cam Miller. I just love Colorado here in this spot.
See, I wouldn't take Colorado or any stretch of the imagination in this game because I feel like this is a game they could lose. At least for, like, the offensive line, yeah, they're beefier or whatever, but they still have no depth. Like, this, I'm talking, like, down the road, like, yeah, this season. Obviously, they have no depth because they just brought everybody in on transfers. So, I think that's another thing to look forward to. Like, you've seen it last year. Everybody got hurt on their team. Like, towards the end of the year, they had nobody.
Well, see, look, this is why I'm on Colorado. Well, this isn't the reason why. But last year, I missed out on that wave. I missed out on the Nebraska. I missed out on the TCU. I missed out on it. You know when I got in? We were on the opposite of them on those teams. But you know when I got in? I was like, oh, man, I'm riding this Colorado train. And it was Colorado State at Colorado. And I was like, dude, Colorado's going to beat the brakes off them. No, ended up going to OT, and yeah, but this year, the first 3 weeks, I am riding Colorado. I'm going to ride them at...
Versus Nebraska again?
At Nebraska, I'm going to ride them. Actually, guys, take that with a grain of salt. I got to see them play North Dakota State first. but yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing this revamped Colorado team, and I feel like they're in a good spot. On a Thursday night, I feel like they're still going to have eyes on them. Obviously, the hype isn't as high as it was last year.
Yeah, but I mean, they still have way better athletes than, like, North Dakota State.
Yeah, but, like, is this going to be, like, a 7-point win, touchdown, and then you rely on that defense to get a late stop? Or are you going to put them away?
That's another thing. I need to see Colorado, like, defense too. Like, I need to see their defense before I make a bet on them.
Yeah, but yep, not obviously, just saying I pick Colorado in this game. This isn't gambling picks though, just analysis. TCU -9 at Stanford. This is a Friday night game. I had to put a Friday night game on this. I like Stanford with the points here. I think a lot of points are going to be scored. Both defenses are kind of suspect. Yeah, and that's just to fill your Friday night There's a lot of games. You got FAU at Michigan State. We get to see the revamped Michigan State Beavers. That's what I'm going to call them. just kidding, guys. I know it's Michigan State Spartans. It's a joke.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this should be.
TCU, I mean, I don't think anybody knows what to expect for TCU, really.
No, it's just another year of them reloading in the portal and seeing if it works out. It's hit or miss with them. They bring in a bunch from the portal. Oh, didn't mesh. All right, let's bring the next batch in. All right, this is good. This is good. All right.
Yeah, we'll go to the national championship.
And then the next one, miss. But, yeah, some people are high on TCU this year, saying that they're being overlooked in the Big 12, but I don't know how you can look at them in the Big 12 after seeing what they put on the field last year.
How many wins did they have, like 4 or 5?
Something around that ballpark, I think. But, yeah, let's get into a mark.
It could be a fun game to watch.
Though. No, I'm telling you, yeah, that's why I'm saying on a Friday night, this is a banger of a game to watch, but instead we're going to be at the Penn Trafford Mount Lebo High School. Let's get into Clemson versus Georgia. Neutral site. This is a banger to start off the college football season. We got two bangers at noon on Saturday. Let's start off with this one taking place in Atlanta, Georgia. Georgia is -13.5. I think Georgia's gonna smack around Clemson. I could be wrong though. Like, Georgia did lose a ton. This could be a dogfight.
Yeah, I don't see it at all.
No, I know I don't see that at all either. But I'm kind of getting nervous about like this 13.5. Like, is this gonna be like?
Yeah, and it doesn't make sense either because the odds like are like -105 to take the minus.
Yeah.
At least on FanDuel. It doesn't make sense to me. Like, because Georgia blows everybody out week one. Remember what they did to Oregon a few years ago?
Yeah.
In Clemson, it's not like they're returning all their, like...
They lost Shipley. I know Shipley wasn't their main producer at running back last year, but...
Yeah, but their defense is what I'm concerned about. That was the only good part of their team.
I'm concerned...
Like, their whole front set.
I just don't see the weapons on... On offense to like have any type of
weapons in 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, I know. I just don't see like how they attack Georgia. What, you're gonna try and run up the middle with your big running back against Georgia? All right, good luck. Like, I think with Georgia, to really attack Georgia, you need to attack them vertically, and you need to be able to, like, you know, so then you can open up the run game a little bit.
His legs are gonna be massive in that game.
Well, like,
he can like scramble.
Especially, you know, Kirby Smart's from the Saban tree, and quarterbacks that always took Saban, like, gave Saban the biggest problems were quarterbacs that were able to cause problems with their legs.
Quarterbacks, yeah.
And obviously he comes from that tree and such, but it's whenever you have a quarterback that is able to scamper and get that, you know, that third and four off the, you know, or a third and, you know, third and long, like just picking up first downs with their feet. You know, it's kind of backbreakers for a defense because you do everything right, but then the quarterback just scampers for a first down.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just don't know what to expect from this Clemson team.
You're replacing like Brock Bowers with like Oscar Delp. Like, that's not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, he's a new guy, but Delp is going to be really good. He's going to be like I'm picking him to be the MVP of this game. He's going to go nuts.
The person I'm worried about, I'm not even worried about them replacing Bowers. It's fucking Ladd McKinney for me.
Or McConkey?
Yeah, whatever the fuck his name is. That's who I'm...
Georgia always has receivers and weapons,
though. Yeah, I know. But it always seemed like Brock and Ladd were Carson Beck's security blanket.
Yeah, I mean, Ladd also got hurt a lot, though. Or that was 2 years ago.
Yeah, and then
last year, was he was a little hurt last year, too, I think.
I think he was out the first couple games. Yeah. No, I think Georgia's going to be fine, and I love Georgia here, minus the points.
Yeah, that's...
I'm just not sold on...
Literally, my favorite bet on the board is Georgia minus the points.
I'm just not sold on anything Dabo's doing at Clemson.
Yeah, like, not utilizing the transfer portal, you're basically just saying, like, ah, I don't care to win.
Yeah, it's like, all right, have fun. Have fun. You see what Dabo did? Dabo's no longer taking callers on his radio show.
Really?
Yeah, ever since Tyler from Spartansburg fucking ripped into him last year. Yeah, so no more live callers for Dabo. Let's go into possibly the game of the week. Penn State at WVU. I think Penn State's still minus 8.5 on FanDuel. On DraftKings, they moved down to 7.5. Now they're back up to 8. No half point, though, which is weird.
Yeah.
It's just a solid 8.
I don't know how it went down to 7.5 to begin with.
Yeah.
I don't understand this game at all.
I thought I had a feel for it. I have zero feel for this game. But I'm a ride what I think's gonna happen. Yeah. And I think James is gonna get the boys ready to go, because this is the type of game James makes a statement in, and then he does it, and then in the games where he, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is the type of game James makes a statement in. But
when he's like, he could take the next step, he doesn't.
Yeah, like, this is like, oh man, fucking Penn State's back.
I won't ever say that until we beat Ohio State or Michigan.
Well, you're gonna have to wait on the Michigan one, because
you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, you're the Penn State fan. Take this one away. I was about to start saying.
Yeah. See, last year West Virginia was pretty effective in running the ball, but Penn State's defense ended up the season, I think they were first in rushing defense. They gave up like 75 yards a game. Mm-hmm. And West Virginia was hurting them through the center of the line. As you know, they lost Zach Frazier. I don't know how much of, like, an impact that's going to have on it.
I saw someone say it's going to have a way bigger impact than what we thought.
But because Penn State's weakness of the defense last year was the,
like, the interior.
The interior of the D-line.
Yeah.
And supposedly in camp, Zane Durant has been the name I've been hearing a lot.
Dude, we're gonna have to retire this camp thing, because after watching Florida State, I don't know if we can trust anything that happens in camp.
I think Florida State was just blowing smoke the whole time, man.
Yes.
But, like, you can tell when they're like, when they ask him about a player, like, they're not gonna say, no, he's not really, like, when they ask you who's been impressive.
Yeah.
That's, but I'm interested to see the receivers, too. I think Harrison Wallace can take the next step. He was banged up last year, but he has to be, like, wide receiver one. I really don't see anybody else who can be that guy.
Mm-hmm.
I think Liam Clifford will be, like, a good possession receiver, get first downs, but he's not going to break a game open.
I'm just I'm worried about Penn State's receivers. I just don't know enough about them, and I haven't seen enough from them in games to be like, I'm all in on this receiving core. Like, I haven't heard shit about Julian Fleming.
Yeah, neither have I. I he might not even start, dude. I've heard Clifford, Harrison Wallace, and Amari Evans. Those might be the three main guys.
And like I said, Fleming, great kid, great team player. But when it comes to on the field, like, it's like, all right, let's put him in. We're running fucking 26 zone. Let's put him in because he can fucking really block up to the safety.
But also, like, Kansas's offense is really good. And what, they didn't have, like, a marquee receiver. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm just.
So it's, if Coach K can get those guys open through schemes and whatever.
I'm just worried about James. I'm worried about James.
Letting him take the reins?
Because, you know, like it was like, yeah, we didn't want to go, like, erase everything we did in the past 8 years that I've been here.
Because
all shit ain't working. So
then I seen Coach K talk, and he was like, yeah, like, if we called some this in my offense, but they called something that in his, you know, they just kept the
terminology. Yeah, yeah.
That's what he meant.
Hopefully, it's just a terminology, not like.
Yeah.
Because you gotta let coach.
If I have to watch like a quarterback draw on 3rd and 8 again this year, like, come on.
So I think play calling early, obviously get Allen and Singleton going.
I think it sort of reminded me of that, like, when Penn State played at Auburn, like, a couple years ago, you know, like,
yeah,
there was a lot of hype surrounding the game, tight first half, but then Penn State just broke it open the second.
Yeah.
That's, like, kind of what I'm expecting here.
Dude, I need some, like, passes and behind the linebackers and the seams. It's wide open against WVU. Literally, every single WVU game I've watched the past 3 days, which, you know, I've been throwing up WVU and just... It's wide open.
Like, and you know who I think is going to have a big impact is Tyler Warren.
That's what I was just going to get into. Yes, I sent a text message in a group. I said Tyler Warren should have a huge game against WVU. Like, he should.
Yeah.
And
I think he's the best, like, receiver on the team.
Yeah, and then looking like WVU as an offense, like, it's cliche, it's like, oh, obviously, but like, it's like, you can't let up 5 yards on first down. Yeah. Against WVU, like, against WVU, you just simply can't. It opens up too much for Garrett Green. Like, you gotta keep Garrett Green 2nd and 8, like, 3rd and long at all times, because then it forces him out of his comfort zone. And obviously, he's been working on his accuracy and throwing this off season. I'll believe it when I see it. But yeah, that's.
Penn State's losing some guys on the offensive line too. Like,
yeah, Penn State has some new combinations on the offensive line. Like,
yeah, like, they're supposed to, like, I think I've seen rotate like 7 to 8 guys on the offensive line.
Yeah, and like, for
which could be good or bad.
And like, for,
yeah,
you're working
fresh, but offensive line, you need to have like the chemistry together.
Yeah, and for like a brand new offense going on the road, and it's gonna be loud going on the road. You know, it's the new and helmet communication. Like, what if you've been trained and then you can't fucking hear shit? Like, hopefully you have.
It just doesn't work.
Yeah, so, you know, there's a lot of shit that can go wrong, but I'm still going to be riding Penn State. I just, West Virginia, you know, they have two really good running backs. They have a quarterback that might have already won the Heisman in a lot of people's eyes. And yeah, it's just gonna be. It's gonna be an interesting game. Like, if it's like a Florida State Georgia Tech game where it's 7 possessions each, who you take? Well, obviously I know that who you take.
Yeah, but I think, like, I mean, if there's 7 possessions each way, it's gonna be a close game. So.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see who.
And, like, they keep talking about their run game too. Like, Penn State has a very good run game too with Catron Allen and Nick Singleton.
Yeah, I know.
Like, let's not get it twisted here.
I know. Like I said, you really got to force Garrett Green off his spot though, because he can make some impressive throws, and he will take. The one thing about Garrett Green is he will take shots down the field.
Yeah.
Like, even if it's blanket coverage, he trusts his receiver to go up there and grab it. So. But, yeah, I like Penn State here. It's going to be a great game to kick it off.
Obviously I like Penn State too.
All right. What is this? Kent State at Pitt, -24. I'm going to buzz through this real quick. New offense, Cade Bell running ship. They're going with Orr on the death chart. So it's Nate Yardnell or Eli Holstein at quarterback. So we're going to see both of them at Kent State. Narduzzi lying out of the side of his mouth like usual, saying that he's never limited the playbook in an opener before. That's clearly false. just if you go back and watch the game. Unless that was the playbook against Wofford last year, and if that was the playbook against Youngstown State. Last year that actually might have been the playbook because they realized Phil couldn't throw the ball. So whenever Phil was struggling to complete some passes against Wofford, it was like, oh shit, this is our playbook. But a little interesting tidbit here. Pitt has never gone undefeated in their out-of-conference games. And, you know, as someone, so Pitt has Kent State this week, Cincinnati out-of-conference next week, then they have West Virginia out-of-conference. I need them to lose a game before West Virginia.
Cincinnati?
Yeah, so.
They lost to Cincinnati last year. That was a horrible game to watch.
Watching Pitt football last year was torture. It was like you want to get some information out of someone, just stick them in front of a TV and throw on Pitt last year and make them watch it. Like I don't even know what I was watching last year. It was great.
And then they go out and play Louisville and look like the best team in the ACC.
That's Pitt for you, dude. Pitt, that is Pitt. Like they're gonna have some stumbles this year. And
oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and they might lose their athletic director to Northwestern, the team without a football stadium at the moment. So, it's going great. Miami, minus 2.5 at Florida. Yeah, I mean, the trolling's already began. Florida's doing a whiteout. I don't know if I've ever seen Florida. Have you ever seen Florida do a whiteout?
No.
Well, they're doing a whiteout, so Miami responded by wearing all white uniforms and saying we were told to wear white. that was their caption on Instagram. They were like the threads for the week, and then they were like we were told to wear white, so they're going all white. Home field advantage for Florida, which you know you can say home field advantage this, home field advantage doesn't matter, blah blah blah, high level this, high level that. At the end of the day, it's week one, and it's a brand new offense for Cam Ward, so I do think home field advantage is going to come into effect.
Anytime you're playing in the swamp, it matters.
Yeah, I think you're going to get some of those week one mistakes, and I just like Florida at home. I trust Graham Mertz. I know that's a wild statement, but I honestly don't think he's a bad quarterback. I watched Florida at Missouri last year. I rewatched the full game, Florida at Missouri last year, and they took, well, if Billy Napier didn't play for the field goal, they probably win the game. I don't know. He was acting like there was 40 seconds left. So there was damn near 2 minutes left, and dude's like setting up for the field goal. I'm like, what are you doing? Do you know who's on the other side of the field? You got Luther freaking Bird and then fucking Cook. And you're like setting up for a field goal when you could be stoned for a touchdown. So that was
what happened to the Keaton that was like, yeah, Billy Napier's gone in like the first 3-4 weeks.
See, look.
Now you're riding Florida versus Miami.
Well, the head coach on the other side of the field is Mario Cristobal, and. Whenever Florida hired Billy Napier, I was like, man, this is a great hire because he was at Lafayette or whatever. Yeah, he was Lafayette Rage Occasions, I'm pretty sure. I could be totally wrong. I'm pretty sure that's where he came from.
Yeah, let me look it up.
Double check that.
You're saying Billy Napier, right?
Yeah.
That sounds right. But, I mean, Crystal Ball...
And I was all over that. Yeah, yeah. And I loved him there. I loved he saw the squad. And then Florida hired him. I was like, this is a great hire. And then it seems like he just hasn't been able to get his shit going. He says this is the best Florida team that he's had since he's been there. Is that true? I love the receivers.
Running
back. RB1. That's why ETN left. Let's make that clear. He didn't leave for the... He left because... And then... the only thing I'd be worried about is their defensive line.
Defensive line is what I think is going to open it up for Miami. I mean, I already told you in the preview, I'm high on Miami just because of the Martinez pickup. Not Like, I think they're going to be able to open, like, if you open holes for Martinez, he's going to gash you. And I think that's what happens on Saturday.
Yeah, I definitely think Miami could get worn down on the front if Miami establishes that O-line offensive run game. And obviously Chris Paul's an offensive line-minded coach and stuff like that.
I still trust Cam Ward more than Graham Mertz.
Dude, I'm telling you right now, Graham Mertz is good. And this is coming from someone that said that they've never been on Florida again.
I swear you say that about every team at least once in your life.
Yeah, but then, you know, I like the home dog here.
You guys heard it here now. He's done with SMU. So whenever he bets on him again.
Yeah, I have to check their line for this week. But, yeah, I just like the home dog week one. And Billy Napier's been hearing the noise. He ain't going to make it past this week. He ain't going to make it.
Crystal Ball.
I know, Crystal Ball. I know, this is the battle of coaches on the hot seat, but Miami fans are like, Crystal Ball ain't going nowhere. We're going fucking 11-1. What do you mean? And we're winning the ACC. Whatever team loses this game, though, the coach is going to have a lot of noise. Because if Napier loses this game, it's going to be tough for him to make it through that stretch with the job. If he wins this game, though, and he, splits.
Their schedule's just a gauntlet, though. That's just why.
Yeah, I know. I'm not saying he even has to get through, but, like, he, like, picks up a win through that gauntlet, like, maybe, like, a 1 or 2, and then, like, he's, like, 8-4.
Yeah.
I bet they keep him around.
Yeah, I guess it's like
he's the favorite.
This is more of a must win for Florida than, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like Miami will be fine. Miami will be fine in the ACC. Like, this is for Florida and Billy Napier's sake. This is like they got to win this game at home. With, you know,
you're kind of trying to make me want to flip, but like I just know Miami has a better team.
Yeah, and that Florida State had a better team than Georgia Tech.
Who even knows if they, like, everything.
I'm just saying, I, this game, look, I don't expect Florida to blow the brakes off Miami. I think the only way there's a blowout is the other way around.
Yeah.
I don't know, I just like Florida, and I know that's tough to say because you've seen Florida throughout the years being so close to really breaking through, but then they throw a cleat against LSU, gets them in field goal range, like they're so close all the time, but then something knocks them back 10 steps back and then they gotta climb back up, and then there's Spartan kicked down. You got Miami, who Cristobal is trying to prove a point, so he's running the ball against Georgia Tech, it gets stripped, and then they lose the game. And then you got Chris Paul, who's this and that, and then he's supposed to bring the U back. It's all about the U. The U's back. The U's back, baby. They ain't do shit.
They could have made it to the ACC championship if they don't blow that game. That ruined their whole season.
Yeah, and whose fault was that?
I mean, Chris Paul, but he's going to get right for week one.
We always say that about Chris Paul, but he's done it. Every single
he beat Texas A&M week one last year. They
I know.
Great.
Chris Paul always has one marquee win during the season, whether it be at
versus Ford.
At Oregon, going into the Shoe, smacking the fuck out of Ryan Day and taking his lunch money, or if it be the A&M game last year. But we've seen what happens to that A&M team, so.
I mean, they were in most of their games, so like it's not like they were getting blown out. So.
I still like Florida here. Notre Dame at Texas A&M, the night game. Riley Leonard, I have it 100% healthy out. He kind of took a nasty injury at the end of the year last year, right?
Yeah, but I don't. It was just like an ankle. I don't think it was an ankle.
Yeah. So hopefully,
it was just an ankle, right?
Yeah. It was pretty nice. It was at the
end of Notre Dame game.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird. He's playing for Notre Dame now.
He's playing for Notre Dame. He's going against his former coach, Elko, but yeah. There's Notre Dame at Texas A&M. Duke's not even involved. Notre Dame's offensive line's going to have to really establish this on the road at Texas A&M, 12th man.
Notre Dame just lost a starting tackle in camp.
Yep.
So that, and Texas A&M has good edge rushers.
Yep.
I think this game, honestly, might be the best game of the day.
Yeah, it could be. I've just really never been sold on Riley Leonard. I know you were sold on Duke early last season, preseason, on Leonard and the crew down there. I've really never been sold on Riley Leonard. I think he's a serviceable quarterback, in my opinion.
I think he could go win you a game. I think Riley Leonard.
I think he's
I have him beating Texas A&M, but I think it's going to be a close game.
I think Notre Dame's defense forces a good a big time turnover, in my opinion.
That's one of the best defenses in the country.
Marcus Freeman runs like a pro style type defense. It's really detailed, and some of these college teams is tough going up against. And I think that's going to be the difference maker is the defense, and that's why I'm leaning towards Notre Dame getting a big time road victory.
Yeah, Riley Leonard and the defenses. That's why I'm picking Notre Dame for sure.
Yeah. Then we have a Sunday night game. LSU -4.5 versus USC in a neutral site bowl. Neutral site game in Las Vegas.
For this game, it's basically who can stop the other team like a few times.
Yeah, so who can get a stop so our offense can go get just a step ahead farther than the other team. What quarterback doesn't force the ball into a window? That's a turnover. What running back secures the ball and doesn't get stripped? It's like who makes the least amount of mistakes in this game is going to win. And that's usually how it works in football games. I keep on saying these like cliche, like, oh, you got to win first and second down. Well, no shit, you got to win first. If you're letting up 5 yards on first down, you're probably letting up a first down on second or third, you know? That's just analytics. And this is going to be who makes the least amount of mistakes, because this isn't one of the games where you can make a mistake and your defense comes up with like a big stop. It's like you make a mistake, it's going to turn into points.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to it, though.
I personally believe that USC's defense will be decent. Like, not like when I say decent, I mean like they won't just outright lose in the game. You know what I'm saying?
The thing is, we have nothing. Like last year,
they literally lost. Like, UCLA's defensive coordinator's coming over. He brought a few guys from there. I mean, they were one of the best defenses. They were probably behind Oregon the best defense in the Pac-12, right? Or they might have been. I don't know. Either way, I think he can turn around the defense pretty quick.
The thing about this is we really don't have any information on USC this year. We have information on who they brought in, but they haven't been letting any media and, like, no one's been able to view a practice. We don't know anything about this USC team. And that's my good friend Colin Cowher. He's like, yeah, they're running a tight ship. Like, they're not letting any eyes in.
That makes me like USC, though. Like, they're all about business.
Yeah. I ran LSU on EA College Football the other day, and I was like, man, I really like this offense, so... That's why I'm leaning towards LSU. Nah, I'm kidding. I heard Saban talk about LSU a little bit. He really likes LSU's quarterback and says that he can be a big time player. So,
yeah.
And obviously,
he was good when he played in that bowl game.
Yeah, and USC with Miller Moss. Honestly, he's gonna
touchdowns on the holiday
bowl. Yeah, he's gonna play the system. You know, he's gonna play the Lincoln system. He's not gonna go off schedule. And which, you know, if you know Lincoln's offense, it is a good offense. So I think it's going to be a banger of a. I don't know what the line's at, but.
4.5.
Well, yeah, the over under set at 64. So.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, so that's all the games. Let's get into our gambling. So, as you guys know, last year I kind of had a rough.
Do you have the stats from last year?
I'll have to pull them up. I should have pulled them up. But starting off 0-0. I'm starting off 0-0.
I just want to see my record.
I don't know where we. I don't know.
It would have been in the shared drive or something.
Yeah, but.
Forget about it. I think I was like 7 games over .500.
I have some of them there. I just don't have them labeled, so I'd have to open up like all of them. So I'll give you my card real quick with a quick little bang bang with it. Kind of a lengthy card, but I love it. Colorado -9.5. Like I said, I think I'm gonna ride this Colorado wave. UNC -2.5 at Minnesota, taking a road favorite, giving points, which, you know, I usually don't like doing that, but I'm just not running the boat. I stopped running the boat. My arms got tired. My arms got filled up with the lactic acid. I couldn't row the boat no more for PJ Fleck and the squad down there in Minnesota. Georgia -13.5. I think Kirby Smart's gonna. Look. This is the thing about Georgia. They can't get in trouble when they're playing a football game because they're at the field. So this is where Georgia's most dangerous. Roads. But on the football field, and this is when they're gonna, smack Dabo across the face. They're gonna bully Cade Klubnik. They're gonna get pressure on him, forcing him in some bad throws. Carson Beck's probably gonna win the Heisman this year. You got ETN running, toting the rock. You got receivers. You got dangerous tight end coming in, replacing Bowers. I love Georgia. Florida money line +110. I'm going to take rivalry game. I'm going to take the home dog and my boy Billy Napier. UNLV money line +120 at Houston. Can't tell you anything, but I just love this play. That's all you need to know. Notre Dame money line +124 at Texas A&M. Another road dog. In a tough environment, Riley Leonard, Marcus Freedman, my Buckeye brother, will get it done. LSU -4 versus USC. I trust LSU more than USC. I think Florida State slapping the hell out of LSU in the same spot last year. I don't think Brian Kelly lets that happen again. Last play, Penn State -8 at West Virginia. We already talked about it a little bit, but...
Yeah. Well, we pretty much talked about every game we're going to play just because all the other games are kind of like 40-point spreads.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, I think I started off pretty good. I hit it like a patch towards the middle of the year where I think I was just like 500 the whole way through, whatever.
Yeah.
But this year, week one, I said I like UNC Minnesota over 50.5. I think Minnesota's going to try and air the ball out now. Even if it's not good or not, that's going to work in my favor. I think UNC's going to be able to run the ball. They always put up points and give up points, so I'm taking the over. Penn State -8. I think it's 8.5 now, but whatever. At least on FanDuel.
DraftKings, you can get at 8.
Maybe a close first half, but I don't see this being a game down to the wire, like a lot of people think it's going to be. I think Penn State's going to be able to run the ball, hit some shots. Something they were able to do against West Virginia a year ago, but not against any other team. And I think they'll be able to shut down Green. Georgia -13.5. I think Georgia's going to just annihilate Clemson. I don't really think it's going to be like within 20 points. Michigan State -14. I like Aiden Childs over there. I think the offense could be decent. The defense was terrible last year, but almost everybody's back. I think they play FAU. I think they'll be able to beat them by more than 14. Miami minus 2.5. We pretty much covered that. Notre Dame money line. I like their defense, and I like Riley Leonard. I'm taking them to get a big road win. USC plus 4.5. I like Miller Moss and Lincoln Riley, and I think if they just get a few stops, I think they cover this game. And then a 6-point teaser: Penn State, Georgia, Miami, Notre Dame. So 6 points. You buy 6 points. It comes out to plus 260. I like that teaser. I think we already went over what teasers were last year.
Yep. So the Penn State line goes from -8 to -2. Georgia -13.5 to -7.5. Miami -2.5 to +4.5. Notre Dame +3 to +9. But yeah, it's great. College football is back Thursday night. I'm gonna really enjoy it. Hopefully my mom has
UNC.
Yeah, hopefully my mom has some TV set up and stuff.
Why wouldn't she have TV set up?
Yeah, everyone, no. But that's going to wrap this up, this episode of Your Favorite Show Without an Intro. And this is our outro. Peace.